so much younger. Hanging outside with my brother, breathing on a hypercolor shirt and watch it changing color. Friends that you had to find, couldn't get them all online. In my room I play guitar, only played Oasis and Nirvana. On and on and on and on. From HWR HQ, it's the 13th edition of HWR Dark Match. This time, you're joined by Abel Morales and
Porsche.
That's right, Porsche. Hey, welcome. Welcome. We are having a special episode of Dark Match where we're going over WOW, the first three episodes of WOW, Women of Wrestling. It just came back onto TV in general, as we know of. I don't know, we'll discuss that a little bit. But yeah, the first three episodes on AXS, which is the same channel that does New Japan Pro Wrestling in the English, in the recappy type thing, because it's not like, right?
It's pretty much like a week after everything happens.
Yeah.
Is what happens and it's in English.
It used to be a longer delay. But now it's just like a week?
Yeah, like a week or two.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, we're not here to talk about New Japan. We're here to talk about WOW.
Yes.
Right? WOW, Women of Wrestling. So if you guys are watching us live, thank you so much for joining us on your weekend. If you can, log into your YouTube or Google account. That way you can chat along with us in the live chat. I'll have you pulled up right here on the handy-dandy smartphone, and I'll be able to read your comments. If you want to, you know, just say hi, ask us questions, talk shit, fact check us, whatever. I'll see it, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's understandable. That's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, and on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio. And we do still have an Instagram, right?
Yes, Instagram, Houston Wrestling Radio.
Oh.
Just do a search. It's there.
One of us actually fools with it, right?
Every now and again.
Every now and again.
Yeah. I do what I can.
Because I'm Instagram illiterate.
Or illiterate in general. Whatever works for you. Yeah. There you go. Do you want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. WOW.
Mm-hmm.
We saw episodes 1 through 3. And I remember WOW being a thing when I was a youngin'.
Yes.
I just, like, the memories kind of smooshed together between WOW and GLOW, and I don't really know which one's which, but I do know that they're both, like, 80s women's wrestling, and, like, that's it. So when WOW was coming back, I was expecting, cool, reboot. I mean, we had the mockumentary-type thing that's really more TV show than it is wrestling thing on Netflix came out about GLOW. It's like, okay, but WOW's actually going to be more like a traditional wrestling show. So yeah. I was pretty excited about it.
Yeah. And I was excited about it too. I was like, okay, I heard of it. I wasn't really in our market. Like it was mainly just, I think it was like maybe in 100 markets out like in Los Angeles area, like in California, New York, probably up north where it's super, super cool right now. No. Sorry, y'all.
No. What do you mean? What wasn't in our market?
The actual WOW TV show.
Okay, so
the original one.
Okay, that's the first hurdle that we have to cross.
Yes.
Because I was under the understanding that this was like the relaunch now and we're starting from scratch. That's something I didn't know because when the first time we did turned it on, there's an announcer dude in the ring. Announcer dude's apparently also an authority figure. And they're bringing out Santana Garrett as the champ. And like, we're just picking up where we left off from last week's Raw episode. But it's like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. So with WOW started back in 2000. And they did, like, a bunch of shows in, like I said, those, like, smaller markets for, and I think they had, like, maybe over. I don't know why. I didn't get a chance to fact check that. If you know, please let us know, because I don't remember. Then once they started, like, you know what, let's try and get this back up and running. They started back in, I want to say 2013, 2014. That's when they started bringing back, bringing in newer actual professional wrestlers. Because with WOW, the difference between WOW and GLOW is that GLOW, they just like, let's hire actresses and then we'll teach you how to wrestle.
Okay.
WOW is...
I'm with you here.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because see, I was thinking this was 80s competition for GLOW, like back in the 80s and 90s and stuff.
Well, no, with GLOW, GLOW was in like the late 80s by David McLean, who is the owner of WOW. Okay. Once GLOW ended, he kind of took a hiatus. He was kind of burned out a little bit. Then he wanted to, like, you know what, I want to get back into the women's wrestling thing. So that's when he started WOW with Jeannie Buss, the owner of the LA Lakers. And she's like, hey.
In 2000.
In 2000, yes.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, do you want to do this women's wrestling thing? And they were all copacetic with it. And then that's when it happened. They took the hiatus in 2001. They brought it back in 2013, 2014, where it was mainly just an online show on YouTube. Then they started putting their own stuff onto their own website at WOW, I believe it's WOWESuperheroes.com or just WOWE.com. And they have all of season 4 right now on their website. And this is now season 5 that we're watching.
Okay, so what they got on AXS is season 5.
Yes.
Okay, season 5 of a reboot for something that originally started in 2000.
Correct.
So, and then for more clarity's sake, okay, so correlation between ECW and CZW, right? Where ECW kind of folded, and then after ECW folded, then CZW came around.
Well, was it owned by Paul Heyman?
It wasn't owned by Paul Heyman, but okay. It was some other ECW folk that, like, started it up, right?
So, like, pretend that if Paul Heyman also owns CCW as well. That's the correlation. Because okay. Dave McLean, he's right. The owner of both GLOW and of WOW.
Okay, so out of the ashes of this other promotion, that's where this promotion came from.
Correct.
Okay, and then it opened, closed, reboot, and now we're catching season 5 of the reboot.
Yes.
Okay. I wish all this was explained to me before I turned on the telly the first go around and I just saw that McLean dude standing in the ring with Santana Garrett, their champ, because there was a bit of confusion where it was like, all right, pause. What? Okay, we're already in the middle of here? Like, what's, you know?
But I kind of like that just because they didn't go into the whole, like, so this is us. And this is how we're going to explain everything to you and, like, waste, like, at least 3 episodes of, like, this catching is who we up. Are. Yeah.
Okay. I maybe I could just blame my own ignorance on that.
Blame your own ignorance for that.
Oh, well. But I also kind of feel like I wish I had a little bit more head. Yeah, I don't know. But it did kind of catch me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, not knowing quite exactly to what to expect. But then Santana Garrett's out there opening the show. Super babyface. I've seen her before, even here in Houston, wrestling at NWA Houston. She's really cool. I like her. She's a great talent. So it was cool seeing her. And super babyface, you know, with the fucking streamers coming off of her arms.
That headband, because you gotta have that headband.
Oh, yeah. Bright colors.
If I see her without the headband, I don't know who the heck she is.
You don't recognize her?
I do not. Yeah. I do not at all. But yeah, she came cool. out. Yeah, she came out, babyface and all. She was talking with her dad. She was talking about, like, how it was a really rough time with her dad this year because of health issues. And all of a sudden, it's like, she's a great champion. I'm a great champion. Thanks for letting me be your champion. All of a sudden, Tessa Blanchard just pops in out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm getting fucking hyped because I like me some Santana Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Tessa Blanchard. Fun fact, at TASW, mm-hmm. NWA Houston, whatever you want to call it at the time, we got to see Tessa Blanchard's second fucking match. If you go back into the library of the pictures on our Facebook page, you'll see a picture with me, Baby Chris, Baby Tessa, and Travis all standing there shoulder to shoulder with her, her holding up an HWR t-shirt. And it was cool. But she was green as fuck. And now, even four years, I think, later, yeah, I think, just 4 years, she's, like, polished. Like, she picked that shit up quick.
Like the diamond she is on Impact.
Yes. You're welcome. But, so I'm saying all this to say, I said all that to say this. I was fucking hyped. I'm like, Santana Garrett, Tessa Blanchard, they're talking about their lineage and their ancestry. And wait, what? Who's that old guy? Kenny Loggins? Kenny Loggins?
The guy that plays the saxophone.
Kenny G?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, Santana Garrett's dad is Kenny G. And apparently Kenny G also was a wrestler, not just a saxophonist.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. We're supposed to, like, respect him for his wrestling. And I'm like, okay, who the fuck is, like, I had no idea. Well, but I kind of just went along with the story because I was like, oh, maybe, because I didn't know what the fuck, that this was the fifth season of GLOW. So I probably also figured, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. It's my own ignorance, but pretty sure I never heard of that guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of people that are wrestlers that we've never heard of, but like their second, but we know like their second generation. Yes. Like Carmella. Like, I don't know who Carmella's dad is, but he was there.
Yeah.
And so now we have Santana Garrett, and like, I don't know who TNT Kenny G is, but he was there. And he was in the same territory as Tessa Blanchard's grandfather owned it. Then her stepdad was also in the same territory, Magnum TA. And then Tully was the big guy in charge in that territory. And right. So Santana and Tessa are butting heads because their dads butted heads back in the day.
Right. Okay, cool. I don't know who these guys are. Well, I know who Tessa's family is, but I don't know. But I just took them for their word. Like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. I'm on board. And, you know, he's out there with the little breathing oxygen tube. I'm like, all right, I already see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Somehow he's going to get attacked or punched or something, you know, later on, and something like that. Like, Tessa's going to pick on him. And we had to wait till a little bit later in the episode for it. But I was already like, okay, cool. This is actual serious-ass women's wrestling.
Yes.
So, I mean, the announcer, who also wound up happened to be the owner standing in the middle of the ring, welcome everybody. That was a little off-putting.
Basically the host.
Okay, well, whatever. the aesthetic of it all seemed very 80s. So I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, but also a little cheesy, but that's wrestling. So I think I'm on board. But then, after all that stuff where like I was like, not sure. Then they pulled me in with Tessa and Santana. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, what the fuck is this now? Because the next thing after that, we had we actually had a match.
Yes.
Right? And I was like, okay, cool. We'll go check out a few more of these girls. Yeah. And remind me the names of these girls.
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, Shaw Guerrero is also the ring announcer.
That's true, too. That got me hyped as well.
Yes. Shaw Guerrero is the ring announcer. It was the first match. It was the Beast versus Steffi Slays.
The Beast versus Steffi Slays. All yes. Right. So when I heard Beast, I immediately thought gimmick infringement, copyright, cease and desist letters. Like, is WWE going to be that petty and just say, well, she's calling herself the Beast, or, you know, that's Brock. I mean, are they going to, how's she going to get away with that? Well, okay, she's calling herself the Beast. What is she really? No. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's
the Beast.
That's her name.
That's it. Just the Beast.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they could try, but I mean, more than likely they'll fail because they've tried copyright infringement stuff before and for random names, and they failed at that.
Yeah, so I mean, because it's pretty damn generic just to be called the Beast. Mm-hmm. So they probably won't get any gimmick infringement on there because of that, which is good. But on the second time, you're not getting cease and desist letters, not because you're not copying somebody, but because it's fucking public domain. Like, oh, I'm just the Beast. Like, all right, that's some generic ass shit. So I was already like, whatever, this is whack. But I kind of, she went out there, mm-hmm. She did an open challenge, And then we see a camera in the locker room with Barbie Hayden.
And this was season four of the last episode. So right. This is what we did not see. This is only on the website.
Okay. But we see Barbie Hayden. Mm-hmm. So immediately I'll mark it out. Because
Abilene Maverick Abbott.
Playing the role of the governor's daughter.
Abbott.
Abilene Maverick. Who, if you live in Texas, which we do, we know the name of our governor, and it's not Maverick, it's Abbott, so we can only assume that she's Abilene Maverick Abbott.
Abbott.
I guess, right? If she's really the governor's daughter, but I guess she's not, because they just say the governor's daughter. They don't say the governor of what state, but they bill her from College Station, and she's got a big old star on her chest, and she's wearing blue and white like the Cowboys.
She's living her Dallas fantasy right now.
I guess. Like, Dallas, not even, like, the city, but Dallas, the fucking TV show.
Yes.
You know, like, the old fucking melodrama from the 80s, which I'm like, all right, that's turning up the cheese factor a little bit. And, you know, this is wrestling. You gotta like cheesy a little bit to like wrestling.
And also remember, this is the guy that made Glow. The cheesiest of cheesiest wrestling TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. I'm just saying, I got like two completely different things here. You know, I got like super serious, you know, Santana Garrett, Tessa Blanchard. They have first and last names. They're not overly gimmicked as a stereotype. They are, you know, these women that like are good wrestlers.
Yes.
And then we went from that to The Beast. And then Abilene Maverick.
And but, then.
But I brought up the Abilene thing all to say this, which was, I kind of like this. See, there was a lot of mixed bags here, because I like this, because there was a beast out there issuing an open challenge, and then Abilene was like, hey, to turn to this other girl, Steffi Slays, and say, hey, it's time for your match. Head out there. What? It's time for my match? Yeah, yeah. It's a good go, go, go. And she went out there, and it was, no, open challenge against a beast. She got her ass whooped. That was kind of funny. That little bit of storytelling was funny. I was entertained by that. But the match itself was hot garbage. Holy shit, that match was bad. Do you agree?
Man, I have Ken and people there, so I'm going to plead the fifth.
That match was hot garbage. I'm not gonna pull the punches on that one. It was real sloppy. There was a couple of blown spots. There were some things that went on in the match where I wasn't sure what they were trying to pull off. And like there was a delayed vertical suplex that just didn't get delayed because Steffi just didn't stiffen up. She just kept going. And I don't know if that was all on Steffi. I think it may have been. I'm not familiar with her, nor am I familiar with the Beast. I don't know either one of them, so I don't know how long they've been around or how good they could be. But if I'm only going off of this match, I'm not a fan of either one of those two girls.
Well, I mean, time will tell. I mean, we have to kind of give them some moment. I mean, yes, I'm not sure even how long. Like they've been on the actual show themselves. I believe they may have only been there for like maybe seasons four,
yeah,
I want to assume, but like I said, I don't know, but
I don't know.
We have to try and like give them a chance, like try to like kind of go through the motions, let's see more matches. Maybe they didn't mesh personalities well, maybe they didn't mesh styles well. Yeah, so we gotta see.
I mean, that could be it. However, mm-hmm. I get it, that happens in wrestling. Bad matches happen, especially on like the lower level indie type things. That happens. I get it.
Yeah.
But if this is your first episode on TV where you're gonna have brand new eyes like mine, and you're gonna put your first match to be a match that isn't quite as good as maybe some of the other matches on the card, that's a big mistake. Because sometimes first impressions matter. And if I weren't Houston Wrestling Radio, if I weren't somebody who like needs to watch content to make content for these videos, I probably would have been like, ha, click, and I would have been done. And I'm sure there's some folk out there who are like, you know what? No, I'm not even going to tune into HWR's recap of it because that show was so bad. You know, there's going to be some folk like that. And especially considering that this show's not live. This show was taped. And the following match afterward was pretty darn good. You could have just as easily edited that good match to be first and have the mediocre match sandwiched in between so that people kind of just forget about it. Because that first one, that's important.
Yeah.
And that's almost unforgivable, you know. But again, I have to watch this because we were going to do this. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a chance. And I'm glad I did give it a chance because the next match, like I said, was pretty darn good.
Yeah, with the next match, well, first there was a promo with Fire and
Fire.
Or if you watch Impact Wrestling a lot, Kira Hogan. The most adorable person in the whole world that comes up to my nose, and I feel very tall when I'm standing next to her.
She itty bitty.
And I'm short.
Yeah. Now, I like the promo with Kira.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that she's not Kira and that she's Fire. And I kind of get the storytelling there. But there's just two big problems I have. The first big problem, and this might be a little insensitive of me to say, and this might be controversial. You might even get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it because this is how I feel.
Go on.
The whole crux of her turning into Fire was because she was bullied. And I don't see how or why she would have been bullied. She said that she was seen as different. She said that she was seen as a freak and that nobody liked her. And I'm like, what is there to not like about you? Like, who the hell would have ever picked on you? If she had some sort of weird thing going on that like would have revealed itself in that promo, then I would have been like, oh, I get it. But like, she's just saying that, hey, people made fun of me and you're trying to generate sympathy. And why the hell did people make fun of you? I don't see absolutely anything wrong with you that even the most hardened bully would make fun of you for.
Well, in the promo, she said that she was a gifted student. She was gifted. That means that she was like top of her class, like A's, A's plus every day or all day long in elementary school. When she got to middle school and junior high and high school, that's when they fucked with her. And people are like, well, you're a gifted student, therefore we have to bully you. And really, bullies don't have a rhyme or reason. They're just going to bully because they have something going on with their lives. So if a bully's going to bully, they're going to bully for whatever reason. They don't really need a reason.
Okay.
So that's her whole thing. And she, and when she said, I was death threat bullied, I mean, like, you can't, like...
Yeah, okay. I mean, I could somewhat buy that. And that's why I'm saying that this is a little controversial for me to say. Mm-hmm. As somebody who was in high school, middle school, elementary school, as the gifted kid, you know, being picked on as because you're just smart and a nerd, I don't think it's ever gotten as far as what some other kids would get that had more shit wrong, quote unquote, with them than them just being smart, you know? But... okay, we'll just leave that there. Hopefully there'll be more story to come out of that as to why, because I see absolutely no reason why. But maybe, because maybe a little bit of me wants to see that, what that transformation was. Because was she Urkel glasses and like, just like, oh, well, and, you know, socially awkward? And did she become the fucking amazing, talented, beautiful, well-spoken woman that she is now through that? Because right now I see somebody who's amazing, talented, beautiful, well-spoken. And, like, I don't even see the most bully-ish of bullies picking. But I don't know. I think that's, like, a gap in the story that I might want to see.
Well, like I said, like, it's just the first three episodes. We haven't seen
right. All
the things yet. There's, like, about 20 freaking women on this roster. So I don't
true.
Know. So, yeah.
We're not even through the first episode. All right. So
all right.
Can I say the second thing that I had a problem with?
Go ahead.
Fire. F-I-R-E. Again, you're not going to have any fucking gimmick infringement because it's fucking public domain. You're going to name her Fire? Not even changing up the spelling F-Y-R-E? No, not like, you know, short fire, small fire, like fire hazard or something. Like, no, just Fire.
Maybe she didn't want to be associated with that fire festival.
Fire something! Just... fire, like, okay, and that's not something I'm bashing on her about.
Oh yeah,
this is something I'm kind of bashing on Glow and the creative, or Glow, Wow, and the creative team about. It's like, dude, you guys are throwing up a lot of shit that is non-creative public domain, that, like, get your creative juices flowing. Let's get some more stuff out there. Shit that's worth copywriting. Shit that's worth getting a cease and desist over. You know, this you're just, it's only the beast and fire. Like, all right. So, again, first about characters, you know who they are, you know, whatever. And then you have two other people that's just the beast and fire. And it's kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see where you're coming from. But you also have them, and this is the perspective I'm taking it as, is
I'm just looking at Randy in the live chat. She's chiming along.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Well, I see it as a show about just female wrestlers who happen to be quote unquote superheroes. I haven't seen the superhero aspect yet.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. But I'm going to like just wait and see what transpires, because I want this to grow. I want this to become more than just generic information or generic characters. Like what we have to watch for the wrestling, because I mean, heck, we barely have any story with Ring of Honor, but like everyone goes gaga over that, and they're generic as fuck with their storylines. At least with this, like, it may be cheesy, but at least we got something, even if they have a generic name.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, there's still a lot to be seen, but let's move on to that next match of that first episode. The match that I said should have gone first.
Yes.
And that was Fire versus
Abilene Maverick.
Abilene Maverick.
Abbott.
Abilene Maverick Abbott. That was a good ass match.
Yes.
Kiera Hogan, Barbie Hayden, we both know they've put in time, even though Kiera Hogan is really young in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I, as being somebody who was a big fan of Barbie Hayden, who she was pretty much established and she was a mainstay at NWA Houston,
yes.
She's improved a lot over the last like 3 or 4 years. Also,
oh, definitely.
She's fucking badass. I love her. And that match was really good. The match between both of them. I don't know if I have a pick as the best, but
oh yeah.
That one's up there.
Yeah, that one is definitely up there with me. I love the ending of it with Barbie using a rope hung DDT. That's probably one of my favorite finishers.
Yeah.
It's just basic, like using the ring to your advantage type psychology, which I love.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a great move. And she used to use that when she was wrestling down here in Houston. So she really knows exactly the timing and the cadence of it and the impactfulness and how to actually take that bump and how to give that bump. And Kiera, the way that she just like folded in half, butt up in the air, spiked right onto her own head, it looked sick. So the match itself, oh fuck, that was really good.
Oh yeah,
really good.
Yeah, but let's get on the next one because we have like 3 episodes that we have to get through.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
So next one was, let's see, there was a little skit between Chloe Hertz, Steffi, and Abilene, where pretty much Chloe doesn't like anybody.
Window.
Yeah. While Abilene is making fun of Steffi because she got hurt by the Beast. So all 3 things just happening at the same time, where even heels don't like each other. I like that.
The heel and heel interaction was kind of nice. Because as far as I could tell,
yeah,
Abilene Maverick Abbott is a heel,
yes.
Right? I mean, she's a heel, right?
Yeah, from what I can tell, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So the next match after that was the all-natural Chloe Hertz with her ring rats.
All right, so the ring rats. Okay, now they're bringing me back in with the creativity.
Yes.
The ring rats thing, that's fucking funny as hell. It's 4 fucking muscle-bound, shredded dudes carrying her on their shoulders into the ring because she's so fucking full of herself, and she's the all-natural with fucking Botox lips, fake tits, fake, probably some fake ass, I don't know, and like hair that you know ain't really hers. She's like definitely not all natural, but she is calling herself all natural. Got pulled into her character a little bit more. I kind of dug it.
Yeah. And then she was going up against Eye Candy.
Now and then again. Okay, so I really dug what was going on with Miss Hertz over here, the All Natural and the Ring Rats and all that. I really dug that. And then Eye Candy. Okay, is it IEICANDYZ or like is it? No, it's just EYE space CANDY. Like, all right. And what is she? She's somebody who wears colorful attire and dances around and could be a raver, but we're not sure. But generic ass shit again.
you were very happy to see Eye Candy.
Well, I mean, she looked good. She was thick with two C's. You know, she was. I was happy to see her, but
and I remember you talking about this like the first time we saw this episode. You're like, why didn't they do like I, like the letter I, candy, and because yeah. Apple will get over on all that shit and like just cease and desist all of that. Like,
right, but that would be something worth it, sending a cease and desist over.
Well, they ain't got time to try and like change the name for bullshit reasons.
Yeah, I know. Gimmick creation is not a WoW's strong suit. Yes, thank you, Randy. The ring rat's carrying in the ring rat. Oh, the irony. Thanks, Randy. I don't know. I just thought that was a fun bit of gender swap role play there with the ring rats. I fucking love that. That was amazing.
Yeah, and that Eye Candy moonsault, though, that was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, her moonsault was fucking badass.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked her moonsault.
Oh yeah, you liked a lot more things from her.
Well, I did.
Mm-hmm. But let's get on the show. There was a promo from Zyren the Voodoo Doll, and she was voodooing all her stuff, whatever. Then we got into the Jungle Girl vignette, and Jungle Girl, she's one of the originals. She was back there in 2000. You can tell when they were trying to show videos of her from back in the day.
Yeah,
you saw like just the 2000 like really grainy video. Trying to do the widescreen because there wasn't widescreen back then.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's an original, definitely.
Cool. It was another example. Jungle GRRRRL. Jungle Girl. And she's got a Tarzan gimmick, a jungle gimmick, and that's it. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And like okay, I get it that she's part of the original, but it felt like a little bit overall, especially in this first episode, overall felt a little bit like you play WWE 2K19 or 18 or whatever, and you create a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
right? And the ring announcing AI is only so smart. So, like, you'll have actual names. Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels get announced to the ring. But then, like, you make a dude and you name him Chris Danger. Shout out to that guy. You name him Chris Danger, and the ring announcing only announces it Chris, and like that's it, you know? And it's like it's that bit of fucking genericness that just hitches at me. It just it gets me right in my craw. And there was again that fucking genericness. And it's like, oh hell yeah, great. We're gonna have Santana Garrett versus the former champ, Jungle Girl. All right. And at least it wasn't G-I-R-L. At least there was something different. There was G-R-R-R-R-L.
Yeah, and I think the whole reason for that is, like, I think the transition of trying to make it to where it was actual female wrestlers instead of actresses being wrestlers from GLOW to WOW, that transition period was not pulled off as well in the 2000s. And they've gotten better where they do have actual talent now, but they haven't matched the talent with the names just yet.
Yeah, not quite.
Yeah.
I would like to see that have happened. Because I think after we watch the first episode, because full disclosure, we actually watched the first episode on the first week. That we were gonna try to do this after the first episode. We're like, nah, let's just do bigger chunks at a time. But immediately after the first episode, I think I told you that it seemed like it tried to be GLOW and it tried to be Lucha Underground put together. And I want it to be completely one or completely the other and let them be committed to it. Yeah. You know?
Irony upon ironies. Guess who the executive producer is?
Who?
Mark Burnett.
Oh,
the
course.
Executive producer of Lucha Underground.
Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
Of course. He produces everything.
Of course.
I
did not know he was such a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I guess so.
There you go.
But because it had certain fantastical, over-the-top, crazy, cheesy-ass elements that Lucha Underground has, which they pull off. But then it had, like serious stuff that... Well, no, see, some of that serious stuff was really more Lucha Underground. The super cheesy stuff with the generic things were more GLOW. And it just, it's trying to strike a balance. And in the first episode, I didn't feel like, after the first episode, that it struck a balance with me. I felt like they're trying to do two completely different things. They have two completely different people at the creative helm trying to say, well, Harry, we're going to have actual established, good indie women wrestlers doing first and last names going off of lineage and heritage, and they're not just a stereotype, versus we're not going to use your real name, we're going to give you this fake ass stereotype name, and it's going to be not creative because we can't pay for copyright stuff. And like, it's kind of like mishmashing a little bit together. That's how I felt after the first episode, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first episode, but the actual match, like when they were doing their thing between Santana Garrett versus Jungle Girl, as Santana Garrett as their champion, and Jungle Girl, like, they held their own. Like, that was a
decent match.
It was a good match. And then, like, gets interrupted by Tessa because Tessa just doesn't care. Because Tessa was like, you know what? F your dad and try to kill him.
Out of the four matches on that card, the only one that was really terrible was the first one. I'm not feeling like I'm nominating anything as match of the week, or definitely not match of the year at all. Nothing has been that good out of any three of these episodes, spoiler alert. But it's good. There's good wrestling. It's just that the worst match I've seen by far has been the first fucking match.
Yeah, but it does get better. Let's get on to the second episode.
Okay, let's go.
So second episode, it's pretty much another... And they do this a lot. I've seen this. Like, this is the second time in two episodes where they have, like, let's do an interview segment. Sounds familiar? That's first at the beginning of the show. But it's an interview with Santana Garrett. It gets interrupted by Tessa Blanchard. There's fighting. They try to pull each other apart because David McLean, as the owner slash host.
Slash commentator
is pretty much saying, you have not earned your spot. Once you've earned your spot, then you can have a title match. So he makes a title match later on a match for Tessa in the evening with Amber O'Neill, the Beverly Hills Babe, for later on that evening. So after that, there's a Princess Aussie promo. You go ahead and talk to Princess Aussie. You do that.
Okay. Well, I'll save what I got to say about Amber O'Neill until we get to her match.
Yeah.
Okay, the Aussie Princess. All right. I felt like that there was a little bit more creativity put into the story and the backstory of this person, but it's unfortunate the execution of it. Because I can't appreciate the story itself. Oh, she's Australian. You know, she lived closely with Aboriginal people, and her mom left her, and so she was raised by the Aborigines. And like, okay, I kind of get that story. That's what they're trying to go with. All right, cool. She's blonde white lady, but raised by Aborigines, and she's like adopted their culture. But in execution, I didn't really buy it, because in the execution, it was like they had four black dudes dancing around her that were just painted up, who answered a casting call there in LA. It was like, hey, you want to be native folk to Australia? Here's some paint. You know, and here's a loincloth, and go out there and pretend off the coast of fucking Santa Monica. Go out there and dance around like you're in Australia, and hand her a stick. Like, okay. Like, it totally didn't seem genuine at all. And then that's when it kind of, like, took away the illusion. And that when that illusion's taken away, I can't take the validity of the story. When that illusion's taken away, I just see it as cultural appropriation. You know, because if that illusion was... so good. Maybe she did grow up in Australia and she's just acting over here and she's bringing her own culture. You know, the best wrestling characters are turned up to 11, turned up to 11. Maybe that's what's going on with this person. But no, I think she just answered a casting call and those four black dudes dancing around him, just around her, answered a casting call. And it's like, okay, well, anybody who's not that. you know, and I could be wrong. Maybe she is Australian. Maybe she does know some Aboriginal people. Maybe some of those black dudes aren't black dudes from, you know, South Compton, you know, from South Central, you know, maybe they're not.
Yeah. But well, this is the first time I'm ever hearing about Princess Aussie. Again,
generic ass name.
I don't know her wrestling history. I would love to know more wrestling history because I think she did okay for her match.
In the ring, she did well.
Yeah. So, like, I want to give a benefit of the doubt because I don't want to just bust out with cultural appropriation yet. I mean, like, cringy, yes. Definitely cringy. But cultural appropriation, I don't know, because the story that she's telling, it's more so personally, like, this is who I was raised by. Like, deal with it. If you don't like it, bug off. Pretty much. But before her match, like, there was a Jackie Stallone shout-out, which was totally awkward. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't... Yes, I understand the lineage between Jackie Stallone, Glow, David McLean, but it looks like she didn't want to be there. And I don't
that could have just been her face.
I'm going to leave you...
It's probably just stuck in a permanent... you know, state of just that's how she just looks because of all the fucking plastic surgery.
Once I want Sylvester Stallone to watch this one day, I'm like, I'm going to get able.
I'm just saying, I'm defending her.
Okay.
You're over there saying, oh, she didn't want to be there. No, she was probably happy. Happy as a clam.
Well, she wanted to be there, but she didn't want to be on the camera.
Maybe she would have, but she just can't smile.
Get on to the next match.
What was the next match?
Siren versus Princess Aussie.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Siren. So, we kind of just blew over that from the first episode. She had a vignette where she introduced herself, her character. She is a voodoo lady. She did a seance sacrifice thing. She came out to the ring trying to be scary. Okay, cool.
Maybe Boogeyman is. Boogeyman-ish type of scary type of thing. And we were talking about like how with wrestling there are offensive characters. And I'm like, everyone's offensive in wrestling pretty much for the most part. To an extent, yes.
Now, okay, here's a really good example. Okay, first off, generic-ass fucking name. Siren. Ugh. But you could have taken that and taken some of those tropes and what she wanted to do and be a little bit kind of witchy or whatever. A Bray fucking Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is the cult leader who's weird. His gimmick, even though we all know that he's the son of IRS, right? But, like, he kind of plays it up because there's enough realism mixed into that character. Like, he has a first and a last name. Bray Wyatt. Like, but I'm Siren. Like, your mama didn't name you Siren when you came out the womb? Like, you ain't Siren.
My mama named me Portia, dude.
Yeah, but you have a fucking last name and a middle name, and like you're not just Portia.
You don't know that.
I've seen your driver's license.
I'm trying to make a point. Shut up.
But your point is wrong. my point is that if you want me to believe it that she's like that, because we're in Texas, we're right next to Louisiana, where there's folk who actually really fucking believe in that fucking shit. And they practice it down in the fucking swamps and stuff. There's people that, you know, you can see that actually, you know, are involved in that culture. They got first and last names. And they're kind of, you know.
Yeah, at least with a name like Siren, I was expecting, like, is she going to use her voice for something? Like, is she going to be, like, super, super loud? At least, like, have the name match with what her character is going to be. Because Siren just sounds like somebody that's going to yell a lot.
Yeah,
a lot,
or like a half mermaid kind of thing. Because
she's gonna serve me Starbucks, something. Give me something.
Yeah. So again, name not creative, and the extra sin on top of that is that it doesn't match the gimmick that you're going with.
Yeah. But other than that, like wrestling was on point. Yeah. I liked the match.
Yeah, the match was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a splash. Like Princess Aussie does splash for the win.
Yeah,
which is nice. But another thing that was annoying me is that they are comparing, they do a lot of comparisons to other male wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And
I forgot about this.
It's kind of like, if you want to establish yourself as a separate entity,
don't compare yourself to other things, especially to other male wrestlers. So if you establish yourself as the premier female wrestling or one of the more prominent wrestling shows on television, stop comparing yourself to Rey Mysterio. Stop comparing yourself to Eddie Guerrero. And like, oh, look at Shaw. She's tearing up. Ha ha. And like, no, don't do that. That's demeaning to workers, and that's demeaning to yourself. Don't demean yourself.
Yeah, and get over on your own merit. You could just say, hey, that was a nice frog splash. Not like, oh my God, it's just like Eddie. Like, especially when you're attributing it to a different wrestler, but referencing the fucking ring announcer. It's like, oh, she just did a splash, just like Eddie Guerrero, who, oh, we have Eddie Guerrero's daughter as the ring announcer. It's like, you're just trying to connect too many dots just so that you could throw the name out there, because that just makes it sound like you know that you can't get over on your own merits, which is bullshit, because you could have.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is fix some things. And like with Tessa, I get it. I understand. The whole story is about her and her lineage. So yeah, name drop the shit out of it because you have a good excuse. You don't have a good excuse to to name drop Rey Mysterio.
Or name drop Snuka.
Yeah, well, okay. I get it why Snuka, because the thing with Rey Mysterio has absolutely nothing to do with the white blonde girl who pretends like she knows Aboriginal people. There is no correlation at all whatsoever other than she did a fast move. And that's it. Like, don't, like, no, you're good enough. You're good enough. Believe in yourself. Believe you can do it. Okay?
You're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like you.
There you go.
Right.
Let people like you for you.
So after that, there's a Jesse Jones vignette and promo, which explains who Jesse Jones is as a person as a whole. But then once we get into...
Dislocates an elbow.
Dislocates an elbow. She pisses off her
trainer.
Her mentor. Her mentor. I can't remember the mentor's name right now. Selma. No, Selena.
Selena.
Yes, Selena. And then, because remember about what I said about offensive people? Hi, Jesse Jones.
Yeah, okay. I kind of finally there where now I'm starting to get turned around. Mm-hmm. On the whole harping on the fucking, oh man, you have just generic ass shit. Last name. Thank God she had a first and last name. That sounds like it could be the first and last name of a redneck, but they could have just as easily named her Redneck Woman. Like, that could have been her fucking name, because that's the gimmick that they're giving her. They could have just called her Belle, and like, that's it, you know? But no, they get Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones sounds like a good old American country girl from small city, whatever, USA.
Bourbon country.
Exactly. That makes sense. So you're taking a gimmick and you're taking it one step further to make it a little bit more creative. All right. Good job. And you're fleshing it out a little bit more where, oh, you have this mentor and the mentor was wrestling before. And she like, okay, cool. And the mentor had an actual name too. She wasn't just like, you know, Tractor Betty, you know, she had, you know, like, okay, you're finally taking your creative wrestlers and you still didn't know the mechanics of the game and whatever. So your creative wrestler is generic as fuck on the first one, but your creative wrestler on your second or third, fourth try is getting a little bit better. That's what I saw with her. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's a heel. Yes, it's stereotypes. Yes, it's fucking offensive, but she's a heel. Make wrestling great again, which was a great amount of heat in LA, of course. Yes. I didn't like her. I wanted to boo her, which is good. You're supposed to be.
She wants to build a wall.
She wants to build a wall.
While Shaw Guerrero is in the ring.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to talk about what her mama said. We'll glance upon that.
What? Vicky said something?
Oh,
like, yeah. On Twitter or something?
Yeah, she's like, build that wall. She doesn't want to pay taxes for people.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway.
I'm like, but that's another thing.
That's another thing.
But yeah. So, and Jesse Jones is going against Azteca.
Which, one step forward, and then you take another step back. Just Azteca. At least in Lucha Underground, it's Dragon Azteca. You know, like, give it more of a fucking thing, you know?
Listen, they got Tejano. They don't have all, they don't have a lot, they have hits and misses, too.
I get it. I understand, but, oh, all right, so Azteca. All right, so you found a somebody who under a mask could look like that she's, you know.
She is.
Aztec. All right. Okay. After the fucking shit with the Aussie chick, I'm not sure if any of these folk are like from where they are or are from wherever they say they are. So I'm doubting it all now. So if she's from Mexico, okay, great. But I don't believe it, not yet. But that's just because of the sins of the past, you know, on this show. But either way, generic ass fucking name, generic ass fucking character. Her name is Azteca and she's wearing Aztec gear and that's it. That's the gimmick.
Lucha Underground people wear Aztec shit all the time.
They do, but it's like they put more into it than just that. Like there's some bits of irony and some bits of thought out. This is not any of that. This was, oh, you're Mexican? Okay, we're gonna call you Azteca. Here, put on this headdress and like that's it. Okay. You know?
And then we might get more backstory later on.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because like I hate doing comparisons because we just talked about like doing fucking comparisons, but like right. Lucha Underground, like the way that they did like some of their people. It's like they did one match, but they didn't really tell their backstory until like maybe a couple of episodes later.
That is true.
So we just have to wait because apparently this was her first match in WoW. So we have to wait until we get more information about her later on.
Okay.
So
that. Okay.
Yeah. So Jesse Jones won with a submission.
Yes.
Which was also
I loved that submission.
Yeah, the major arm bar.
Yeah, it was an arm bar, but she was also twisting the wrist the wrong way.
Yes.
I loved that. I've never seen that before. That was, I've never seen that particular submission before.
Oh, nice.
I mean, maybe I have, but maybe it just like was, oh, put you here. Okay. Counter move out. But like, this was no, I'm gonna hold it and you're going to tap. And I was like, oh, that's fucking cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I love that move.
Oh yeah. That was a good one. And then let's see, now we can get to Lana Starr and Beverly Hills Beverly Hills Babe. AKA Amber O'Neill, and their whole backstory with how what happened with them between her and Santana and Garrett. And I like the foreshadowing that they did in the first episode where Santana Garrett was like, oh yeah, it was my face and then like another person's face. But like, and they showed the picture of both of Amber O'Neill and her together, but she didn't want to say her name.
She didn't call her out by name. Yeah.
I like that foreshadowing of it to what's happening then. And they told a whole backstory between Amber O'Neill, how she became a super bitch to Santana Garrett and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice. And I know you want to say something.
So Amber O'Neill is the pinnacle of the problem with WoW. Because you have a name that I actually recognize, a name that I've kind of heard in forums and whispers and stuff. Hey, you really should watch Shimmer. You really should watch, you know, this or that or you know, Shine or whatever. Hey, have you ever checked out Amber O'Neill? Amber O'Neill. Oh, and I've never actually checked her out, right?
Yeah.
But that is somebody that if you said Amber O'Neill, oh, I finally get to watch her. Oh, okay, cool. Ah, somebody with some name value, some recognition. Okay. Yeah, cool. Like, oh, I think Amber O'Neill. I think, oh, Tessa Blanchard. I think, oh, Barbie Hayden. I think, oh, Santana Garrett. Okay. Real, actual indie wrestler established, has some name value behind her, has some work behind her that you could go back and research her or see her other shit and this and that. Like, all right, awesome. But no, and wow, we're going to name her the Beverly Hills Babe. Why? Because she's blonde and buxom.
Well, technically, like, that's not the story. The story was that she was always Amber O'Neill. And
right.
She got the moniker Beverly Hills Babe after she turned on Santana Garrett, but she's still Amber O'Neill. That's just her secondary like nickname that she uses.
But when she was ring announced and when the announcers were talking about her, they didn't say Amber O'Neill quotation, the Beverly Hills Babe. She was announced as, oh, she's now Beverly Hills Babe. When Lana, what's her name? Was
Lana
like
Star.
Lana Star was talking to her, referring to her. They were referring to her as Babe or Beverly. it was kind of like the difference between Kenta and Hideo Itami. Like, he used to be Kenta. We signed Kenta. Look at this. It's Kenta. They put on the fucking tight John Kenta. But I am now Hideo Itami. Itami. And then forget about that. Because they made that distinction. And we watched that episode twice. And I was like, because I was thinking I was on the fence and seeing if what you're saying is what was going on in my head. No. Once they said it's established, she's a Beverly Hills babe, she's a Beverly Hills babe. So you went from real name, real character, all this and that, and she had a heel turn, which is great. Mm-hmm. Awesome backstory, awesome reasoning why the heel turn happened. Oh, she traded in her friendship for Botox. Got it. Okay, makes sense. The story itself. Okay, got it. Makes sense. The character itself. Got it. Makes sense. But you're taking something more established and you're making it more generic. Beverly Hills Babe.
Well, maybe because of her heel turn and how she just wants to be known as Beverly Hills Babe and wants to denounce her North Carolina roots, she doesn't want to be just known as Amber O'Neill anymore. She wants to be known as a Beverly Hills Babe.
Well, okay, maybe. But what I kind of shit that I saw, what I'm seeing here is that maybe there's two different creative writers, two different directions that they're going, mm-hmm. and one creative guy says, no, we need to book real ladies with real respectable wrestling, real respectable lineage and buzz and names, and then we're going to have, like, cheesy-ass shit with the other person who's, you're from Russia, and you're the Russian bear, and, like, boom, that's it, you know, and I felt like something happened between the negotiations between those two, and they're like, hey, I got Amber O'Neill. Oh, yeah, let me check her out. Who is she? Oh, damn, she's blonde. She's hot. She's like, she's going to be the Beverly Hills Babe. But no, guy, like, look, man, she's more than that. No, Beverly Hills Babe, it'll sell. She's beautiful. She's a Beverly Hills Babe. She doesn't need to be a babyface. She need to be a heel. Like, okay. I feel like that just watching that, there was a backstage argument between two creative people, and that's why there's this split personality there.
Yeah, and maybe because of it just jumping into, we're getting back to like how you're feeling like it just jumping into the season, maybe there was a backstory that we didn't see.
Well, there's backstory.
Yeah.
We saw the backstory.
We saw the backstory, but we didn't see like everything. Maybe we didn't see everything that transpired.
Well, the backstory is good. I'm not saying that there's no backstory to it. Yeah. I'm just saying that you're stripping it down to something generic, you know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm belaboring this too much, but I just feel like when you have characters like Jungle Girl, like Fire, like, you know, all these other ones, all these other examples, Azteca, and then you take away that positive equity in my brain that I have thinking that, okay, well, you know, this is just her. This is just her character. This is just an isolated incident. I see there's the dichotomy of what's actually going on and WoW all encompassed and embodied in the Beverly Hills Babe Amber O'Neill. Like, she's both Amber O'Neill and Beverly Hills Babe. She's both Jungle Girl and Santana Garrett, you know? So, and it's just mismatched into one. That's how I view her right now. And I think that's just the prime example of everything that WoW is.
Well, like, I'm gonna leave it with this with my explanation, but in everything that Amber O'Neill has been in, she's been like something babe. So like, she was the Bullet Babe. She was, I think, like New Japan Babe. Anything that she's been in, she's been like some type of babe. Okay. So that's her whole thing, is like, I'm a babe. Mm-hmm. So this is just another entity of her being a babe.
Okay. So, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the end of episode 2?
Let's see. Tessa Blanchard won her match with the Buzzsaw DDT.
It was basically a Hammerlock DDT.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Really good.
And I'm glad that they named it.
Yeah, it's nice. And then another fight breaks out because fights.
Of course.
Yes. All right. So episode 3. It was we didn't have like an interview segment. We had
start off the show, right?
Yes, we had Faith the Lioness promo.
Right. Faith the Lioness. Okay. We're taking another step in the right direction.
Yes.
Faith the lioness, not just the lioness. Because when they were showing promos of her in episode 2, that, hey, you'll get to see this person in episode 3, the lioness, I was like, oh, great. They're going to have, like, this girl that they're going to say is from the Sahara, and she has, like, a fucking lion's fur, and she thinks she's fucking, I don't know, Simba or some shit. Or, I like, that's it. It's going to be generic-ass shit. But no. No, she's not. Mm-hmm. She's not. She's Faith. That's her name.
Yes.
The lioness.
There you go.
So that's she is the argument you were attempting to make with Amber O'Neill, the Beverly Hills babe. And I don't buy that with Amber O'Neill right now. I don't buy her as being Shawn Michaels, the heartbreak kid. I think she's just the heartbreak kid and totally lost her own mind. But anyway, that's not a here nor there. We got past that.
Yes.
With her, I believe she is Faith, the lioness, because she's a real person and she doesn't have, oh, I'm from the Savannah gimmick. Her gimmick is that, hey, I'm young, I've got entered into this, I'm going full at it full bore, I have nothing but faith, that's my name, ha ha ha, and I'm fierce, I'm like a lion, so I'm like a lioness.
Because
so like Chris Jericho, a lionheart, corazón de león,
yeah,
lionheart, Chris Jericho, you know?
Yeah, well, and speaking of like Jericho, like she's multifaceted. She's an entertainer.
Yes.
She dances, she sings, she raps. She will booty shake for all ends of the earth. No, not like Chris Jericho. He doesn't booty shake. I mean, he could booty shake, but I mean, hell, this is Chris Jericho booty shake. But yeah, like she's only 19 years old. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a youngin'.
She's a youngin'.
She is super young.
Mm-hmm. She, yeah, was she really singing or was she lip syncing?
Well, I'm pretty sure she sung the track, but she was lip syncing.
She was lip syncing.
Her own track.
Yeah, so she comes out and she pretty much pulls like an entire fucking number.
Yeah, she has a
song and dance.
She has a dancing posse.
Yeah, she had like two or three other backup dancers with her. Fucking.
And Beast is in the ring like, what the
fuck? Beast is like, yeah, what the, who is this?
What? Why?
Yeah, and it was different. It was kind of cool because usually whenever we see people with singing or dancing gimmicks, it's like R-Truth where you sing while you're going into the ring and then that's it.
Yeah.
No, she came out to the ring boogie-woogieing and then got a microphone and then started singing and then started doing a full-on out concert between the announce table and the ring apron. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I've never actually seen this before. You think you would have? And you think, like, oh, we come up with examples. Maybe Jeff Jarrett's done something like that. I mean, fuck, Elias is doing that right now. But
Victoria?
Yeah, but it's not quite the same. I mean, kind of 3 Count, but 3 Count was doing it by making fun of it. We're supposed to be taking her serious. Like, she's doing this because this is her.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you see her, like, singing in the studio. It's like, this is my producer. Like, Little Flex. Hi, Little Flex. And then Little Flex. I don't know who he is. That's Minute Flex.
Minute Flex.
Yeah. But, yeah, she her match was good. She really is, like, multifaceted. She's really good in the ring. She...
being so young,
yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, I'm not even sure what, because you can start learning how to wrestle like when you're 8 or 10 or whatever, but yeah, I don't know how long she's been wrestling, but she did good. Usually, with in the first episode, like, Steffi just kind of like, and then like
she
fell
got
down,
mauled by the Beast,
yeah. But Faith was like, screw this, I got this, and like, she held her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good.
It was kind of that story of you're too young and too dumb to be scared. And, like, which sometimes actually happens even in real sports where it's like, oh, the established fucking dynasty team that kills everybody that everybody's afraid of gets taken out by the young upstart team because they don't know any better to be afraid against them because they're like, oh, we're supposed to be afraid against everybody because we're young and thus we're not afraid against anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's kind of what she did. She took out the fucking Beast.
Oh, well, yeah, almost took out the Beast.
Yeah,
like they
went toe to toe.
Yeah, I mean, the Beast won with the World's Strongest Slam, and I was like, really? You're really gonna call it the World's Strongest Slam?
But no. She won with the Power Bomb. She did the World's Strongest Slam right before, right?
Okay, that's right. Yeah, she won with the Power Bomb.
Yeah,
but she did the World's Strongest Slam. They called it the World's Strongest Slam, and like, there would be the copyright infringement thing that you're worrying
there
about.
There it is. There it is right there.
It's like, so we might hear a cease and desist later from them.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you got your wish.
Ugh. Yeah. And of all things, World's Strongest Slam? Okay. That's what you're going to copyright? That's what we're doing? All right.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then next, what I've been waiting for, because it's after my own heart because she's Reality Wrestling alum.
Yes.
We know her as Ivory. We know her as Robin. But on the Women of Wrestling, she is the disciplinarian. And why is she the disciplinarian? Disciplinarian? I can't talk today. Disciplinarian.
Why is she the disciplinarian? Because she is a teacher.
Yes. For realsies.
For realsies.
For realsies.
So taking your real life persona, turning it up to 11. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, yeah. And then what's interesting is that back in the original WoW,
yep.
There was the original disciplinarian. I think her actual name was like Kristen Davidson. I don't know I don't know who she is. I'm pretty sure she was great. I've never seen I haven't seen her wrestle. I don't know if she's like this is my blessing. Here you go. But yeah, but then it was the disciplinarian. She has a manager named Samantha Smart. And they gave and I give credit to the commentary team, made of David McLean, Stephen Dickey, and Easy Rider. Easy Rider is one of the originals as well, giving the backstory of Samantha Smart about who she was and why she's there and how she came to meet up with the disciplinarian in that commentary.
Are we really giving props to this commentary team?
For that, yes.
Okay, because see, I thought we were waiting maybe to the end to talk about the commentary team.
Well, you can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Oh, okay. Give props about to the commentary team is probably this one and only thing.
Anyway,
go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Okay.
Get your thing out.
Dibby. All right. So anyway, so it was Disciplinarian versus Fire. And it was a good match. I liked the match, obvious reasons.
Yeah, it was really good. Out of all the three episodes, I think this is another one of those I have to say was one of the better ones. One of the ones that made me really pay attention and put down my phone.
Yes.
Not because it's just Ivory, because let's be honest here. Ivory's more of somebody that's going to make you mark out, whereas Barbie Hayden is going to be somebody that's going to make me mark out more because, you know, you're a row, I'm NWA Houston. You know, we have a house divided here.
We fight all the time.
But
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I usually beat him.
Yeah. But you have real strong connections with her. I have, connections with the others, but I could definitely say that her match was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Being unbiased or trying to be unbiased, yeah. as unbiased as I can.
That match.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a good
match. And then she won with the sunset flip and that's it. I'm pretty sure we're going to get more promos with her in the upcoming weeks.
Hopefully a rematch.
Oh yeah.
It was definitely. A sunset flip, quick flash pin, 1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah. And then that was pretty much it.
Which, is that another example of heel versus heel?
No, because it was Fire. Fire is
definitely Fire's face. Not here. Heel. No, there was one match I wanted to commentate about that. It was heel versus heel.
That's coming up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's coming up.
But, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Then we had another person that I recognize. I've never met this person, but I recognize them from AfterBuzz. I know we're not talking about YouTube entities, but AfterBuzz is another YouTube entity that I look after a lot, and this person who's known as Sarah the Rebel comes in as Razor, who's the manager of Fury and better known as the Psycho Sisters. And the promo was good. Like probably the promo of the probably after all three, I would say probably her promo was probably like her solo promo was probably the best.
Oh yeah, solo backstage camera in your face promo. She did good.
Yeah,
she did real good.
Yeah. So I mean. Heck, after all the AfterBuzz people that are actually on TV that are doing wrestling right now, she's killing it. She's good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then it was Fury versus Chantilly Chella from Coachella. That's a lot.
At least she had a first and last name. The gimmick is all right. She's part of the Dubro parties, Coachella kind of hippie dippy bullshit. Okay. Hey, at least it's more than some of the other characters on this show. But all right, yeah, she likes to party.
Hey,
super creative.
I like to party.
Well, But you're way more than that. Like, that's all she was presented as being. You know, I mean, that's like how most wrestling is. It was very one dimensional for her. Same as Azteca. Azteca was very one dimensional. So she's just a Mexican who dresses up in Aztec garb. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, some of these gimmicks are less gimmick, more stereotype, and that's it. And this is just another example of.
Well, besides that, let's talk about the match. Like, first off, that backhand be strong.
Oh, yeah. She fucking slapped the shit out of her. Fury did. Fury just left that backhand. Whack! Whoa!
Yeah, that reverberated. Yeah, it was like, I heard you squeal.
Yeah.
I looked down for like one brief moment. I heard him squeal like, oh my God. And I was like, what happened? Rewind it. And like, I was like, oh dear God, that hurt my chest.
That pimp hat. The camera angle wasn't great, so you didn't get to see where the blow actually landed. Mm-hmm. But it looked like to me it actually caught her fucking face.
Oh, damn.
But I'm not sure. Because again, you saw just basically the backside of
the slap.
Yeah, the slap. So, man, just went like that. Whap! Yeah. But that sell was great.
That was lovely. And then Fury won with what's called the Fly of the Fury, which is an inverted set-out full Nelson bomb.
Which you had to fucking Google.
Well, I was like, I know there was a sit-down bomb, but I can't remember.
I've seen that move before. I don't know who's done it, mm-hmm. but I do know that whenever I saw it, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. And that was a cool little move.
Yeah.
I like that move. So yeah. I kind of like Fury. Mm-hmm. I kind of like her. And yeah, okay. So was it Fury and Razor? Generic, but they're together as a team as the Twisted Sisters, the Psycho Sisters. Okay, there's a little bit more there. And what are they? Oh, they're just
punk rockers.
Punk rockers. Okay. Again, they kind of started with like your bottom tier. Like generic ass characters, they're bottom tier creator wrestlers, and there's a few in there that are like level 2, level 3, and then you have your fucking elite where they just pulled them off of the indie scene in the indie circuit. So that's probably somewhere around the level 2, level 3, you know. And I can get on board with that. I need to see less of these level 1 fucking jobber material fucking characters, and I need to see more of the more fleshed out characters.
Yeah, but I think it's just going back to, like, it's the creative glow. The creative glow is like, this is what you got.
Yeah.
Business. So,
right.
It is what it is with that. But the last match, this is the match that you were trying to think of where it was heel versus heel.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Chloe Hertz versus Abilene Maverick.
Yes.
Abbott.
Abilene Maverick. Abbott. heel versus heel stuff.
Yeah. And they brought up the backstory, which is lovely because, mm-hmm. like I said, some of us don't know what the heck happened.
They had a match for the ring rats?
Yes, they had a match for the ring rats where you can either have her Abilene Maverick's boyfriend as a ring rat or you go and get some Texas ring rats, which is stereotypical Texas, by the way.
Yeah.
Where it's like rednecks, like
old, bald headed, one tooth kind of.
I was like, hillbilly. I was like, there's no hillbillies in Texas.
There's hillbillies in Arkansas, but not in Texas.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Texas, you got cowboys. Not necessarily hillbillies. You got rednecks, not hillbillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, and then the whole ring rats pushing the ropes to make sure that Chloe tries to escape.
That was fucking awesome. That was the best thing that I've seen out of all three of these episodes. All four of these fucking muscular bound chiseled dudes shirtless at ringside leaning over trying to push in the ring rope so that Hertz can like break the submission hold. That was hilarious, and it was like, it reminded me a little of The Boys in, what's his name?
Dalton Castle,
Mr. Peacock guy. The Boys trying to help Dalton, but in like almost a naivete kind of way. Like, they're not evil, but they know that they know who their Dom is, you know, and they got to help out their Dom, you know? So it's like, oh no. What's her first name?
Chloe.
Chloe's in trouble. Come on, fellas, push.
Like, we know our brains better. We know where it is.
God damn, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was so good. I love the rats so much. Just the concept of it. Well, I mean, you know, I get it. That's eye candy for the ladies and some dudes. But like, I like the storytelling and the whimsy part of it.
The whimsy.
Yes.
Right. And then she won with a tornado DDT. So that was
not the best tornado DDT I've ever seen. Like, okay, normally when you do a tornado DDT, you hook them up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you spin around and take a back bump immediately,
okay.
right? But what she did is she hooked her up,
mm-hmm.
she jumped down, turned around, was still on her feet, and then did the DDT. And it was, like, not quite even, you know, it didn't flow properly. It was, like, herky-jerky. Like, I'm up here. Huh?
Is more staccato for you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was, like, up here. One, two, fall. Like, no, it's supposed to be fluid, and it wasn't fluid at all. Yeah. It looked bad. But, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is. Those were the all first three episodes of WOW.
Yes.
Like, so overall.
Overall, I'm willing to give it a few more shots, because there's glimmers of things here and there that if they just improve it, it'll make it more digestible, more mm-hmm. watchable. The one thing is that all these generic-ass characters need to be fleshed out a little bit more. And if they could do that, then I'm good. The other thing that we kind of just alluded to a little bit that we didn't really talk about a whole lot is the terrible commentary. Oh, my God. I know I sat here all episode long complaining about the characters or the lack of creative, but... The worst thing about this show is actually the commentary. That three-person booth doesn't have chemistry. They're stepping all over each other. Since they don't have creative things to say individually, one person will say something and the other two will fucking parrot it, you know?
Like, we learned that Tessa Blanchard won her match, like, three times throughout the entire, like, that second episode.
Yeah, like... Tessa Blanchard's your winner. Tessa Blanchard's the winner. Tessa Blanchard's the winner. Ring announcer, Tessa Blanchard's the winner. Oh, Tessa Blanchard won. Like, oh, fuck, for fuck's sake.
I think Tessa Blanchard won.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Like, and they were stepping over the commentator. They were stepping over in-ring promos. They were stepping over to themselves. Like, they just, it was not good, man. It was terrible commentary.
Yeah. And I'm hoping over time, like, something will, like, maybe they'll learn from what's going on. Like, I haven't seen seasons 1 through 4, so I don't know if this is, like, a new commentary team or if it's the same commentary team. Like, I would have to go back and go to the WOW website just to see and kind of go from there. And maybe something will, like, change eventually to make it to where it's not as hard for the ears.
Yeah. See, I don't want to say that, oh, like, I'm the best fucking commentator ever. I'm fucking green as shit, and I'm not all that good either, right? Mm-hmm. But I try, and usually whenever I listen to other commentators, I'm like, okay, they're good, because I know they're fucking good. Like, mm-hmm. that, they're good. But everyone else that's not like, oh my God, badass, like, Morrow and Nigel and, you know, even Cole to an extent. Cole, as much as you want to give shit to Cole, Cole's good at, like, actually directing the traffic on commentary. He's actually good at his job. He's just annoying. But, like, everyone else that's, like, under that tier, they just kind of blend and you don't, like... don't really know. And it's not until when you hear... bad fucking commentary do you realize how good these middle of the road guys actually are. And that's what made me realize watching this, that commentary was bad, because they were making mistakes that my rookie ass trying to figure it out almost all on my, if I my rookie ass only been a commentator for like a half a year and only had like 3 episodes come to surface of the shit that I commentated on. If I can see that it's that bad, it's that fucking bad.
Duly noted.
Randy says in the live chat, I literally shouted, oh, shut up at one point. She did.
Oh, okay.
She did.
My phone is cracked, so I thought I said, oh, shit up. Oh, shit up.
No. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. So they were missing cues. They weren't building stuff up the right way. They were blowing calls. They were overcalling stuff. They were repeating each other. They were not being creative in their own loquaciousness. And the two dudes started sounding a lot like each other. And this is something that can be forgivable if this is the only sin. Though one guy had his voice cracking all over the place, which
McLean or Dickie?
I think it was McLean. I'm not sure. Hell, it could have been each other in a bad way, not in like, oh, you're never supposed to notice the referee kind of good way.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're starting to blend in, like this is just a big old pile of shit kind of way. And they just, no, sorry.
Well, you want to leave on a positive note?
Sure. What's the positive note? Well, you wanted to go overall, right?
Yeah, overall.
Overall. What's your positive note?
My positive note is that there is more, more wrestling to consume that is not WWE derivative. As long as they remember that they aren't WWE, they need to be their own entity. Like, right. Don't try and compare yourself to others. Don't try to compare yourself to WWE. Don't try to say, like, oh, this is, we're for XYZ, this is the XYZ promotion that we're like. Be you. Don't do anything else. You're doing good so far, overall. Just do that, and you'll be okay.
The biggest strength I think this promotion has going for it, which had to be uncovered, the biggest strength, I think, is the actual bell-to-bell wrestling.
Yes.
I didn't see that in the first match, which was a mistake on their production, on their part, because that was my first step in the mud, which that's exactly how it was with the XFL way back in the day when the XFL first came around. Mm-hmm. That first week's worth of football was terrible. They weren't prepared. The referees didn't know what they were doing. There was blown calls. The production value was bad. It was terrible. But by the time they got to the million-dollar game at the end of the season, everything was polished. Everything was working. Everyone got into their groove. And this was really good-ass fucking football.
For one season.
I know, but that's the terrible thing about it. People didn't give it a chance because they gave up on it on their first impression, which was week one. Week one was terrible, so they thought weeks two through however many weeks they had, I think it was 12, two through 12 were terrible, and they weren't. Only week one was terrible, and I always bitch about that because I was a big proponent of the XFL. I really liked the XFL. I really liked, everything that happened after week one. But a lot of people fucking burned it to the ground after week one and jumped the fuck out. So I'm kind of hoping that this isn't what's going to happen with GLOW. If you if you watch the first episode, and you watch that first match, you would have turned that shit off and said, this is garbage. But there's plenty of good matches and good wrestling that is there to be had if you make it through to episode number two or episode number three.
Yeah, I see WOW as GLOW, but them taking themselves seriously this time. So if you do like GLOW and you do like and you like the campiness of GLOW and you like the where they are actually wrestling and not just trying to throw hits and misses, then this would be a show for you to watch. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We could be wrong. If you disagree, please let us know in the comments. Let us know either on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just let us know.
Cool. So, I guess that's it. Do we know yet exactly how many episodes this season is? And do they take breaks during their seasons? Or
I do not know. I haven't. I should have researched that. But I am not the crack reporter that I used to be. So I do know that I think there's at least 6 episodes so far that I've seen.
This episode, HWR Dark Match number 13, WOW Part 1. because I don't know. Are we going to try to come back? Probably not after every episode. Oh, no. That's going to be too much.
That's going to be way too much. No.
But like maybe in another 3 episodes, maybe when something else important happens. I think the reason why we decided to do it today was because you were very excited about Ivory. Yes. You're like, hey, we finally got the ROW girl on TV. So let's do it after that episode because you wanted to gush.
Yes.
But that's the only rhyme or reason to us doing it now. Because we were thinking, well, maybe just only after the first episode and the last episode of the season, or maybe every month, because every week's going to be too much. But I don't know. We wound up doing it 3 episodes in.
Yeah. Let's see how it goes. We'll see if we want to do like every 3 episodes, every 4 episodes, every month. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But
I guess it really depends what you guys think. Because, if you guys enjoy WoW more than we, or if you want us to comment on it more, maybe give it another chance. I mean, I'm still gonna watch it because I'm a glutton for punishment. I mean, I can't say that I liked it. Okay. Uh-huh. I kind of was like, middle of the road. I could take it or leave it. But like my deciding factor is that I got a show to do. So if I watch more stuff, especially if it's not WWE content, I see that that's a good thing, especially if it's just easy access on my telly on the clicker. Why the fuck not? But if I didn't have this podcast to run, I probably wouldn't be watching this.
Give or take.
Yeah.
We'd probably force you to watch it.
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence about it. But that's just because of my own personal circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, like I said, I have a vested interest because reality wrestling.
Okay? That's true.
But other than that, I'll watch it because, A, it's something different. And sometimes I was getting burned out on WWE I stopped watching WWE for a long while.
Since before Greatest Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stopped. So, yeah. And I only watched
Dirty Saudi money.
And I haven't really watched it since. Like, the only really times I quote unquote watch it is when I'm in the living room or if I'm going to a friend's house to watch it. And that's pretty much it. That's my only time. But yeah, this is a change of pace. It's fresh. It's new for me. I will probably go back and try and watch as many episodes as possible from their website and then go from there.
Okay. I definitely am not going to be as committed to watch the back episodes. Mm-hmm. But I'll continue to watch the episodes with you. The new ones for this season 5, apparently. I'll continue to watch it. And then once we get closer to the end of the season, I'm really interested to see if they're going to take the Lucha Underground approach where like the season finale is kind of like a pay-per-view, or if they're just like, hey, we ran out of TV time and like this is just the last episode, but hey, keep on watching us on our YouTube, kind of like, which is what Impact did. Impact was like, hey, we're changing to a different channel, so catch us there. And it's like, catch motherfucker, us on nobody, yeah, nobody watches that fucking shit, Well, I mean, on Twitch people do, but on what's it, Prospect TV, what's it called?
I don't even know.
Pioneer? I don't know.
Pitchfork TV, we don't know.
Paw Patrol TV, I don't know.
Oh, Paw Patrol. I don't watch it now.
Poor Impact, dying a slow death. Ugh.
But other than that, I think that's it.
Okay, cool. Well, until next time, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Bye, y'all. Y'all have a good evening.